Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 53, the first paragraph beginning with Logic is Great Stuff. And we'll be reading that one paragraph ending with, we don't know. Today's readers are Mary F., the 12 Steps, Jen P., the 12 Traditions, and our Big Book readers are Ken W.H. in the text, Julie G. on page 164, and Shanna C. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Julie M., and our second hour moderator is Leah S. The share IDs for Monday, July 20th, 2026 are 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 23,646. That's 23,646. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,647. That's 23,647. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary F. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Mary F., compulsive overeater, calling in from New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food that our lives had. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could be sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the four, made a searching. Five, to God, to ourselves.
Mary, sorry to interrupt. If you could speak up a little bit, and you're cutting in and out. I don't know if you could just change a little bit, but yeah, if you could maybe speak up just a little bit, that would help.
Sure. Okay. Five, is this better?
Five, much better.
To God. Okay, great. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning, Rick. This is Jen P. from New Jersey. These are the 12 Traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Bree, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions of the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the chapter We Agnostics on page 53. The first paragraph, beginning with logic is great stuff, and we will be reading that one paragraph, ending with, we don't know. I will now ask Ken W.H. to begin reading.
Thank you, Rick. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. Logic is great stuff. We liked it. We still like it. It is not by chance we were given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses and to draw conclusions. That is one of man's magnificent attributes. We agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with a proposal which does not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. Hence, we are at pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable, why we think it more sane and logical to believe than not to believe, why we say our former thinking was soft and mushy when we say our... when we threw up our hands in doubt and said, we don't know. interesting paragraph, to say the least. Logic is great stuff, and I live by it, and I used it. And I say that with the caveat that it was my logic that I thought was great stuff. And my logic has landed me in... places that I don't even want to talk about. My logic has kept me in addiction for a long, long, long time, because my logic was twisted and warped. The twist of the mind that went into all areas of my life. My logic was skewed, just kept me... in this strange place of agnosticism, I guess. Usually when I think of the term agnostic, I think of it from a spiritual or religious aspect, a theological perspective. I don't have any idea how an atom works, how the world was created, how the universe came into being. I know some people have it logically figured out, at least as far as they're concerned, but I don't have a clue. I don't know what to believe about all of that. And, that doesn't matter to me. Does that make me agnostically scientific or scientifically agnostic? I don't know. I wouldn't use that term for that. I just simply don't have the information that others have to come to conclusions that they come to. Whereas with issues of faith, what I have is experience. I don't have experience of the Big Bang at the beginning of the universe, so to speak. I do have experience with people finding life, renewal, recovery, peace, and the ability to use brains positively for good, for their own good and for the good of others. I've seen it. I have seen that experience over and over again, and I can trust that. These people aren't lying to me, because now I, too, have experienced what they talked about, and that's what I know. That's what I can see and know and believe that will continue to happen in my life. That's the logic that makes sense to me today, and I think that's what this chapter and this the premise is here. That
that's Tom Kent.
Thanks, Rick. I'll just wrap up with, through the experience of others, seeing it happen and seeing it happen in my own life, I have come to believe, and I am forever grateful for that. Thanks, Rick.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started, Ken. All right, before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Lisa C.
Aaron K. Michigan.
Karen K.
Sierra K. Montana.
Sierra, could you spell your name? Could you spell your name, Sierra?
Yeah, S-I-E-R-A-H.
Okay, and then what was the first letter of your last name?
K.
K. And, okay, and you were, was it, what state?
Montana.
Gotcha, all right. Who else would like to share? I've got Lisa C., Karen K., and Sierra K. Who else would like to share?
Yvette L.
Julie.
Was that Yvette?
Yes.
Yvette L., okay. And then was there somebody else right in there with Yvette?
Julie G.
Julie G., okay. Anybody else? Got some room here. Okay. I think we're going to go with this group of names, and then we'll just get more names throughout the meeting. So I've got Lisa C., Karen K., Sarah K., Yvette L., and Julie G. Lisa C., you are up first, followed by Karen K., and when you introduce yourself, please remember to include where you're calling from. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you so much for your service and for the lead, Sarah. Thank you, everyone. I love that the lead talked about the evidence that's present in recovered people. That's it. That's the heart of it for me. And I think the part of this paragraph that kind of sticks out to me the most is this sentence, hence we are at pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable, why we think it more sane and logical to believe and not to believe. I mean, it really cuts right to the question in the next paragraph, right? So it's more sane and logical to believe than not to. It's either God is or he isn't. And unfortunately for like my nature, you know, my ambivalent, indecisive heart, there is no gray area here that I can float around in and continue to be stymied in the anxiety of. I have to make a decision. you know, it's more sane and logical to believe. And I have to just accept that. I have to live in that leap of faith because, ironically, it's like the only way that I now know to have stability, security, and to be grounded, to like really be here now and not floating off in some future tripping fantasy or some, you know, past experience that either haunts me or that I crave or that I wish I could return to and that I really believe if I spend all this time thinking that I can somehow return to. I mean, this is the mental twist for me. But serenity, right? The serenity that I hear and see in recovered people and that I do believe I get to live out in recovery through this program, like my feet are on the ground now. Like I'm really here on earth, but yet my head, my heart, my shoulders, this is all lighter than it's ever been. It's like I get to really be here and somehow have a transcendent experience of peace. And I feel totally free because like even death doesn't scare me anymore. I mean, I have fears all the time. I do my inventories every day that I, you know, the fears come up and resentments and whatever's coming up. But I don't live in that place. And that's what restoration and recovery is. And that's the evidence. You know, this is sane and logical to live in a way that functions well. You know, and my former thinking was soft and mushy because I was a mess. You couldn't build anything on the foundation of my life. You couldn't lean on me for anything because I would just collapse. And now I can be strong for my family. I can show up as a wife to my husband. That was one of those little, treasure chests of recovery that I was not expecting. My marriage is completely rebuilt in this beautiful way. My husband's the same guy. I've been transformed. And so just to say, like, you know, the torture of constantly gaining and losing weight, thinking about the food and thinking that the food was really the issue.
That's time, Lisa.
Thank you. You can't build a life on that, but you can somehow build a life on this unseen power. And thank you so much for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa C. from New Jersey. All right, up next we have Aaron K., followed by Sierra K. Go ahead, Aaron.
Good morning, Rick. This is Aaron K. from Michigan. I think it might have been me. Can you hear me?
Absolutely, I can.
Awesome. Well, this is Aaron K., compulsive overeater, living in Michigan, currently in New York, actually. Hello, New Yorkers. I'm in your state. I couldn't help but jump in because entire fields of study are dedicated to, you know, to sort of studying how the human mind can think it's purely logical, but we can fall into so many like cognitive traps and fallacies and biases. And one of them is this thing called confirmation bias, where we want to believe something and then we look for all the evidence that proves that what we want to believe is true. And, you know, that, you know, there's all kinds of examples of that. And, you know, I think one of the things that I've experienced, you know, that can absolutely lead to relapse is like, you know, I'm not, you know, things aren't going so well. And then I tell myself I'm fine. And I look around for all the evidence that tells me I'm fine and I'm okay and I can handle this and I can do this. But the other thing I have experienced is there's always this deep, deeper, still small voice that tells me, honey, maybe you're not fine. You know, if you have to search so hard for all this evidence that you're fine on your own, you know, that you don't need help. You know, when I first came, I'm like, you don't need to believe in God. You know, you don't need all this. You're fine. You're fine. You're good. You know, addicts, it's like we sink into these cognitive holes where we think we're logicking through our problems and our logic, you know, that same addict logic is telling us we're fine, but that's still a small voice that tells us we're not. That is God. And I guess today I just want to dial that one up and dial my own, seemingly logical voice down and start, you know, listening with more tuned ears to that still small voice that is kind of always going to guide me toward what I really need. And you know, the other thing too, oh, 6, 5 seconds. Never mind. I'm going to pass with that. Thanks for leading the charge. Pass.
Well, thank you so much, Erin K. from Michigan. All right. Up next is Sierra K. followed by Yvette L. Go ahead, Sierra.
Thank you so much. Hi, I'm Sierra K. from Montana. I appreciate everybody on this call this morning, everyone doing service. Logic is great stuff, and I tried to think my way through. Oh, I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And I tried to think my way through this, you know, and when it came to God, higher power, I just used my religious upbringing as ammunition to tear other people's faith down. And I just tried to reason my way out of everything. And I felt so stupid because I had that contempt prior to investigation. And I found through debate and politics and religions that if I just held a really strong opinion, it didn't really matter what it was because I had such a flimsy foundation, as I heard in another share just to that. Like, if I just held like a really loud, obnoxious opinion and said it over and over again, people would start to believe it or think higher of me, at least in my world, in my head. And my greatest surrender, the most peaceful, the most beautiful thing was when I just said, I don't know, and I'm not in control. And, you know, the spiritual experiences I've been gifted through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, through this program, through letting go of having to repeat the cycles that still are, you know, God is letting them go from me one little thing at a time. But it's like I actually have a relationship with a power greater than myself, and I call it God. I call it the divine. You know, it has 1,000 different names because it truly, to me, is everything. It is every moment. It's my cat. It's this bug I see crawling on the floor. It's this mind, body, and spirit. It's all of you. It's this phone call. And it's also the nothingness. It's inside the stillness and the silence. And I don't know. I really don't know what it is. But what I do know is that I don't know. And that little piece of information I used to think would make me stupid, but really it just makes me open and willing to experience life in a new way. And I just thank God that I'm not in control. And thank you again, everyone, for being here and sharing. I pass.
Thank you, Sierra K. from Montana. Okay, Yvette L., you are up next, followed by Julie G. Go ahead, Yvette.
Good morning. My name's Yvette, and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Logic. My mind, you know, the Big Book makes it clear that my mind is the main problem that I have, including what my mind thinks is logical, because a lot of the stuff that my mind will try to convince me of doesn't make any logical sense. You know, the idea, you know, that I held on to for years that somehow, you know, I could keep stuff in my food plan that didn't belong there, that I could negotiate with this beast of a disease. Seemed logical to me at the time, but now it doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make any logical sense at all. I don't make any logical sense. One of my daily readers in AA, Daily Reader, talked about being delusional yesterday. And, you know, one of the things that I have to accept, and I've been abstinent, you know, 7 years now, I'm still delusional. That's why I need this power working effectively in my life, is because my mind will create problems that aren't even there, you know, because of, you know, the fear that's right beneath the surface. And I can't make that go away. I don't have that kind of power. Recently I, you know, accepted a new job, and my initial response to this opportunity was a fear response. No, I can't, God, no, I can't. But gratefully, because of this design for living, you know, my first response isn't my only response, because I bring everything to the guidance of this power. And, you know, the opportunity was presented on a Friday. On Sunday, in my two-way prayer meeting, you know, God said, well, just get the job application of it. How about just do the next thing? And lo and behold, you know, I've been in the job since the end of March, because I trust this power, because this power has guided me to a life that I never expected to live. You know, when I walked into these rooms in 1992, my plan was to check out by 35, and I just turned 62. So what do I know about what's best for me? You know, that's why I trust this power for guidance in all things, not just some of the things. Practice these principles in all my affairs, not just some of them. And my life today, you know, it's whatever perfect is, it's not that, but I love it because it's mine. And I just appreciate this program, and I appreciate the Big Book for its simplicity and its clarity. And I don't try to add anything to it, and I don't take anything away from it, because it doesn't need anything added and certainly can't take anything away, because that's what I tried for, you know, many years, is just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But careful reading of the Big Book has guided me to this power. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Yvette. Can you remind us what the first letter of your last name is and where you're calling from, please? Yvette, could you remind us the first letter? Yvette L?
Connecticut. Yeah, L.
Thank you so much, Yvette. Thank you.
All righty.
All right, that was Yvette L. from Connecticut. Okay, up next is Julie G., and then we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Julie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you so much for these beautiful shares.
Didn't mean to interrupt. Could you please introduce yourself?
Where
you're calling from?
I'm so sorry. Julie G., recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. Thank you for the reminder. I love this paragraph. It made me chuckle out loud the first time I read it, just because of their candor and their tone in a few different spots, despite the topic of this book being deadly serious, right? This logic is great stuff. It's great. We like it. But, you know, if I do examine the evidence of my senses, if I do really apply logic to, as they are presenting it, right, in this chapter, I come to the conclusion that indeed it does make more sense to believe. It is more sane and logical to believe than not to believe. It works. It really does. But what struck me this time in reading this paragraph and reflecting on it over the past few days is the example of extreme altruism that is presented throughout, that sort of like exudes from this entire chapter. I think about the writers, they didn't have to go to such great pain, but they did, right? They even say, we are at pain to tell why, you know, why we are trying from every possible angle to share this message with you, the reader, why we think it is, you know, our former thinking was soft and mushy. And my thinking would be soft and mushy were I to say, I got this recovery and I don't know how, you know, it sure as hell wasn't me. If I had had the power to change my life in this such a profound way, I surely would have done it a long time ago. This power came from a source much greater than me. And I feel that power at work in these meetings, in my life, in my conversations. I see it in the recovery of others who share on this line and have been doing so much, much longer than I have. And so I can no longer say, I don't know. I don't know everything about God. I don't know where God lives or what he, she, or it looks like, but that's really not as significant to me as feeling the power of God and the influence. And in their extreme altruism, they wrote this with only one intention, to be helpful to others. They
That's fine, Julie.
Benefit. Thanks. They didn't benefit from this in any way, nor do I need to benefit except to carry the message. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Julie G. from Pennsylvania. All right. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter, We Agnostics. On page 53, the first paragraph, beginning with logic is great stuff, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with we don't know. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. All right, let's get some more names. Who else wants to jump on?
Anna C. M.W.
Got Shanna C. Is there somebody else there?
Pam Madeline.
W. I'm getting two names there. I'm sorry. I just can't make it out. Let's try again.
Pam W.
Got you, Pam W. And then who was the other person?
Madeline.
Okay, Madeline. And first initial, the last name?
H.
Okay, and let's see who else. Got plenty of room and plenty of time.
Monica T.
Monica T.
Joni Y.
Joni Y.
Carrie S.
Was that Carrie?
Sherry.
Oh, sorry. Sherry S?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nancy R.
Okay, here's who I've got. And if you don't hear me call your name, please let me know that you are there. Shanna C., Pam W., Madeline H., Monica C., Joni Y., Sherry S., and Nancy R. Did I miss anybody? All right. Shanna C., you are up first, followed by Pam W. Go ahead, Shanna.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for your service. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee through God's grace and mercy. And one of the things that come to mind when reading this paragraph is how I used to think. I would hear a lot of times in meetings, oh, you can be too smart. Or you can be too smart for this program, but you can't be too dumb or something like that. And I remember thinking, man, then this program is going to work for me because I'm smart. And I was like, I remember a thought came, was like, well, it's a good thing you're not as smart as you think you are. This can work for you as long as you take the actions. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And I'm so grateful that my God, my Father God, the love of my life. And I know it sounds frothy and emotional, but I really don't care at this point because I've gained access to not just the power, but access to the ability to receive the love and mercy, grace and forgiveness and guidance from this higher power because of people like you guys and certain people that are really properly armed with the facts about themselves, the problem. You know, what was wrong with them? They found the real problem, which is they couldn't eat safely, and they couldn't control it safely. They're eating safely. Once they started in any shape, form, or fashion, any of the behaviors, ingredients, foods, whatever, they couldn't stop, and I could understand that. And then they couldn't leave it alone, even though the stuff was out of their system. Somehow there was a thought that came to mind that said, you know what, I can control it this time, and I'll just start, you know, because there's been so much time between binges or whatever. I could identify with that. And it was people like that that were probably armed with those facts. But moreover, They were not eating anymore. They were happy. They were smiling. And you know what? They were making outreach calls to me. Why? Why? Because they were to stay sober or abstinent, and they were wanting, and they cared. Like, what I saw in so many, especially my sponsor, was that she wasn't doing it to check a box. She was checking on me because she had gained access to a power that changed her heart that enabled her to actually care for other humans. And that power was being demonstrated through her to me at my darkest hour. I got saved by an outreach call. And for that, I'm truly grateful. And that's, and I wanted that God. She talked of a God that enabled her to be that way, to be that way. And I always wanted to be a person who truly cared about others, but I was so in the bondage of self that I didn't know how to be anything different than self-centered and scared of what I'm going to eat next or what I won't eat next, not getting what I weigh, all of it.
That's time, Shannon.
Thank you, Rick. That has been lifted. Thanks be to God. And this Design for Living, it really works. And the directions are in the book, the big book that we're reading. Welcome to all the newcomers. That's all I have. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Shanna C. from Tennessee. And Pam W., you are up next, followed by Madeline H. Go ahead, Pam.
Good morning. I'm Pam W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Wisconsin. Thank you all for being here today. I'm grateful to be on this call. And, you know, I just was thinking about this as we were all talking. Logic is great stuff. Logic is a gift from my higher power, but what I realized kind of on my last round of going through the, you know, 4 through 9 was I wasn't using God's logic. I was using my logic, which is really my ego, which is driven by my character defects. And just realizing, like, there has been a lot of hating going on inside of me, and it is so ingrained within me that it happens without me even realizing it. And just as an example, last night we're invited to these people's house. I've only met the man once, and it's like I said to my husband, "Oh, I can't stand that guy. I don't like that guy." And like this morning I'm listening and I'm like, well, what do I have? Where is that coming from? I have nothing, you know, it's contempt prior to investigation. I don't really even know this person, and that's where I'm going. So I just have to keep on this lookout of those character defects just kind of, you know, driving the bus here and, you know, freewheeling it. So I'm grateful to be on this call, and it helped me like tease that out this morning. And I guess I'm just going to pray that God takes that from me today. And thanks to all of you.
Well, yes. Thank you, Pam W. from Wisconsin. All right, Madeline H., you are up next, followed by Monica T. Go ahead, Madeline.
Good morning. My name is Madeline H. I'm calling from New York. And I've been in OA since 2003. And in 25, I had a relapse, and my sponsor gave me this phone number. My first call was September 8th, and I was struck abstinent at that meeting. I knew. And it wasn't logical. It didn't make sense because I don't consider myself recovered yet. I do believe I am in recovery, and I do have food neutrality. My sponsor would tell me that when I have neutrality, when I think of my trigger foods, my mouth wouldn't water anymore. That happened. And I am a grateful grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. I knew where to find God because he's within me. I didn't have to look outside of myself, and I don't mean that intellectually. I mean spiritually. He is inside of me. I let him direct me. And I practice letting go of things, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. But I know when I'm wrong. And that's a very good thing to know. And my name is Madeline, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Madeline H. from New York. All right, Monica T., you are up next, followed by Joni Y. Go ahead, Monica.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. My name is Monica T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Florida, presently in Vermont. So here we are in the chapter, We Agnostics, you know, We Without Knowledge, my subtitle, I Without Knowledge, I Missing Something. Logic. And they say logic is great stuff. I like it. So all in this chapter, they've been trying to get us to use our logic to look at things a little bit differently, to examine things a little bit differently from what we've been doing. My way was not working. My thinking is flawed with this disease, and I can't think straight. But I do have logic, and I can use it in many other ways. And they're telling us the definition of logic is the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses, and to draw conclusions. And it was pointed out to me that steps one and steps two are conclusion steps. And I can use my logic, looking back over my history, I can come to conclusions with step one, that I am absolutely powerless over the allergy that I have. And I'm also even more absolutely powerless over the obsession of my mind. I can use my logic to come to that conclusion. Yeah, I agree with step one. I am totally powerless. And then step two came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now, this whole chapter is trying to get me to come to a logical conclusion that, you know, maybe all my thinking and my ways didn't work so well. And they found something here that worked. And the first 100 that wrote this are saying, we think our present faith is reasonable. We think it's more sane and logical to believe than not to believe that there is a power that's greater than me out there that can help me. It's helped all of us, and we're trying to get you to use the logic to see this too, that yeah, maybe it's possible for you too. Are you willing to believe? Are you willing to even believe in the possibility that there's something out there that can work for you? And if you can say yes, you're on your way. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Monica T. from Florida. All right, Joni Y., you are up next, followed by Sherry S. Go ahead, Joni.
Hello, this is Joni Y. from Connecticut, a grateful compulsive overeater, recovering one day at a time. And I haven't shared in a while, so I really wanted to claim my seat, and also share about logic not working for me, not working for me at all. I started hiding food when I was about 3 or 4, and I know that because I moved out of a bedroom at that time, and I remember the dresser I used to hide it in. And so I kept thinking, well, if I just find the right food plan. And a few years ago, we were cleaning out our attic, and I decided to donate all of my diet books, and I counted 25 because I was still searching logically for that plan. And I've been in Vision now for 4 years, and still thinking I just got to find that plan, and it's only recently that that there's been a shift, and I'm so grateful for all of you. Is that I'm a teacher, but I feel like all of you are my teachers, and I just want to really say thank you and really pray that I turn to God today and not logic. So so thank you, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Joni Y. from Connecticut. Sherry S., you are up next, followed by Nancy R. Go ahead, Sherry.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Sherry S. from Wisconsin. Logic is great stuff, but what I need to remember is this disease changes my perception. So my perception is flawed. So when I applied flawed logic to things, it doesn't come out the way I want. So yes, I have the power to reason, to examine, and to draw conclusions, but because of my flawed logic, because of this disease, it doesn't end the way I want. And another thing that I have found myself doing over the years with this flawed logic is when people say, here's what I do, I'm like, oh, I know. I know. Well, when I say I know, that means I'm not listening for me. So once I put down the food, my logic started to shift. And, you know, because I have, I think someone that they have, we have pockets of agnosticism. So my logic was flawed in a way that would make food and self-centeredness the logic, which today, because of the program, because my flawed thinking has been corrected through abstinence and connection to higher power, my logic has changed and my reliance on self has diminished because I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that I need to keep coming back, that I have pockets of agnosticism, but the more I lean into a higher power, the better my life is. So I'm going to keep leaning into that higher power because I've learned I don't need to know. I just need to do. So with that, I'm going to pass. Again, Sherry S. in Wisconsin. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry S. from Wisconsin. Nancy R., you are up next, and then we'll get a couple more names. Go ahead, Nancy.
Good morning. It's Nancy R., recovering compulsive overeater from Illinois. Thanks to everybody providing this meeting for us. So I have a couple thoughts about what was read today, and one of those I was reminded of by the previous speaker, and that is a chair, and that is that when I was going through this chapter with my sponsor, we talked about, like, how am I being agnostic today? So, you know, I've always believed in God. I've had different journeys across the years and certainly through program. But, you know, how am I being agnostic today? How am I not allowing God to guide my life today? And that's something I need to be reminded of and get to in my spiritual journey every day. What are the things that I'm saying no to God about or thinking God can't help me with? Like my procrastination and my willfulness of not wanting to continue to do my four-step fear inventory. I've worked on it. God keeps nudging me to get back to it, and I keep saying no. So that's one way I'm being agnostic. Today, I'm not believing that God can do for me what I can't do for myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Nancy R. from Illinois. Got room for a couple of slightly shortened shares. Who else would like to come on the line here?
Darian K.
Is that Karen K?
No, Darian.
Oh, Darian. Okay. Darian K. I'm determined to get a Karen K in there. All right.
Sophie S. from Tennessee.
Sophie,
if there's time.
That's who I'm. Okay. I've got Darian K. and Sophie S. Go ahead, Darian.
Oh, good morning, Rick. Good morning, everybody. I'm Darian K. in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts, and I'm just gratefully recovered and happy to be here with you guys. So I'm just thinking about the word logic. And what came to mind before program, and it was perfectly logical in my mind, was you pay somebody money to follow some kind of food plan, right? You show up once a week, sit down in your little chair and watch somebody in a little, you know, pantsuit with a pin tell you what to eat and how to eat and what recipes to make. And then you take that plan home. And you do it. That was just logic to me that, you know, you do it, but no. And you pay money. I think I said that. But you don't do it. You don't do it. Who wants to do that? To me, that felt like deprivation. I was starving myself. I didn't want to eat those foods. And the weekend was coming, and I just forget about it. But it was perfectly logical for me to sit there and get all this information. It was logical for me to join, at that time, Gloria Stevens for, I think it was a 18-week trial period to do exercise for that amount of time that I would just take off all my weight and I would be done. It was cheap because it was a trial period and I could do it and it felt logical at the time. Guess what? Nothing. It didn't work. No, nothing. No success. And so all these like things that I conjure up in my mind with regard to the food or putting down the food, or trying to abstain from the food at that time in my life before program just seemed perfectly logical to me. But the results seemed illogical. Like I thought, this isn't working because why isn't it working? So today, I'm so grateful that my head is a little clearer. Thank you, God. And that I know what it takes. I know what it takes, and my higher power is what puts that consciousness and that clarity into my head and gives me that direction that I need, that right direction when I'm on that path of unsureness and I'm not sure which direction to go and what would be the logical choice, quote unquote. Thank you. I go in a direction that my higher power has for me, and I am so grateful that I know that today, and that
I'm Tom Darian.
Yeah, thank you, and that I appreciate all of you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Darian K from Massachusetts. Sophie, yes, you are going to take us out. Go ahead, Sophie.
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. This is Sophie. Yes, I'm a compulsive overeater recovering in the state of Tennessee. Super grateful to be here with you all today. I wasn't going to share, and I don't have a whole lot to say either, but I was just thinking about when I was freshly, you know, when I was new in this program and what I was struggling with. And I was just thinking that, like, this, I wanted nothing to do with this sort of chapter and this sort of meeting when I first got here because I was just so overwhelmed. It sounded like you were speaking another language. You were talking about God. You were talking about character defects when all I wanted to do was just find a way to not overeat. And I couldn't figure it out. And yes, logic is great stuff, right? Like later in the book, we're going to hear that like God gave us brains to use. And I believe that. But for me, like I can tie myself up in knots with my brain. And what I needed when I first got here was just to follow someone else's directions and to take certain steps and like ask for help and do what I was told. And I don't say that to sound like, I don't know, like militant or anything like that, but I had no idea how to get here. I needed to follow someone who had what I wanted and listen to what they were saying and do the things they suggested, even when I thought some of them were kind of stupid. And it's through that that I have started to grow a spiritual relationship with my higher power. You know, like I had to have the willingness to believe that there was this way that would work that wasn't mine, and that there was a power greater than me, sure. But building a relationship with that didn't happen until I started working the steps. And I don't know why I felt the need to share that this morning, but I just thought, you know, like, I'm not a person who was struck, you know, spiritual by any means. This is stuff that I'm still grappling with every day. And for me, like, I feel connected to God when I take action. And so if anybody else out there is, like, overwhelmed by this and just, like, doesn't know what to do, just, you know, just do the next right thing. I believe that God speaks to us in those sort of moments. And, yeah, that's really all I got. I hope that wasn't too preachy, but I just, for me, it's just about the actions, and the rest, you know, happens in God's time. But that's all I got. I'm wishing everyone a great day, and I pass. Thank you so much for everyone doing service.
Well, thank you, Sophie. Yes, were you calling from Tennessee? I missed that. Sorry. Sophie, could you come back on and tell us where you're calling from? I missed that. That was my fault.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. It cut out. I'm calling in from Tennessee.
Okay. Thank you, Sophie. Yes, from Tennessee. And thank you, everybody, for a wonderful meeting. And to everyone who shared, please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, July 21st, 2026, is 23,649. That's 23,649. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Rick. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you